Ezekiel by Brother John Aufrey, pages 48 to 50. The likeness of the glory of Yahweh. The appearance of a man upon the throne was, says the prophet, the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Speaking of the establishment of the kingdom, the psalmist writes, "When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." This is speaking, of course, of the manifestation of Yahweh's glory in Christ and the saints, who, as the Son of Man, will be revealed as the light of Israel and the world. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, manifested the moral glory of the Father. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In the age to come, he will cause to be revealed both the moral and the physical glory of the God of Israel. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. We are called to be a part of the glory which is to be revealed, even now to seek for glory and honour, with the assurance that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The multitudinous Son of Man, the one upon the throne, the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. The vision described so far in the first chapter is the basis upon which the rest of Ezekiel's prophecy is built. Its message, as we have tried to show, was threefold. One, the angelo-cherubic chariot was very soon to bring into the land of Israel the judgments of God. Two, this was not simply a question of the punishment of evildoers, but more important, it was intended to bring about the preservation of a remnant through whom the purpose of God would continue. This purpose of God was represented by that which the cherubic chariot bore aloft, the appearance of a man, which was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Yahweh's purpose is that ultimately his glory will be manifested in members of Adam's race. All things will be subject unto the Son of Man. When Ezekiel saw this vision, he fell upon his face. And this is interesting because the prophet is still seeing the vision. But at this point, he evidently becomes more than an onlooker. He becomes himself a part of the vision. He sees himself falling down and subsequently rising to do God's bidding. While he is thus prostrated before this vision of God, he hears a voice, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." Ezekiel is called Son of Man some 90 times, and undoubtedly there is a reason for it. The Hebrew words translated Son of Man are Ben Adam. They occur many times in the Old Testament. Three examples follow. "Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man, Enosh, that shall die, and of the son of man, Ben Adam, which shall be made as grass? No man ish shall abide there, neither shall a son of man, Ben Adam, dwell in it. What is man, Enosh, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, Ben Adam, that thou visitest him?" In each of these quotations, it is clear from the phrase Son of Man that it stands for mankind as a whole, descended from Adam. Additionally, we've seen that the eighth psalm, as expanded by the apostle in Hebrews 2, shows that it is God's purpose that ultimately all things will be placed under the feet of Ben Adam, as we have already seen. The Son of Man is thus, in the final sense, not an individual, but a group of people redeemed from Adam's race. And this Son of Man consists of many sons who are being brought to glory by God. In the vision of chapter 1, we saw that these many sons in whom the glory of Yahweh is to be manifested are represented by the likeness of Adam upon the throne. But here in Ezekiel chapter 2, Son of Man is used of an individual. The fact that Ezekiel is called Son of Man connects him immediately with the one on the throne. The glory of God, which ultimately is to be manifested in the redeemed sons of Adam, was to be manifested in the prophet then. He was to be to Israel in God's stead, speaking God's words, revealing God's character, and as far as Israel were concerned, causing God's judgments to be brought upon the disobedient nation. In this, he represents the Son of Man, the individual Son of Man, who would be raised up as the captain of our salvation. He also would be to Israel in God's stead, speaking God's words, revealing God's character, and sending God's judgments upon the nation that rejected him. Ezekiel, the Son of Man, that is, God will strengthen the Son of Man, beginning his ministry among the people of Israel, is divinely strengthened for the great work before him. In this too, he foreshadows the greater Son of Man, concerning whom Asaph prayed, "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man," that is, Ben Adam, "whom thou madest strong for thyself." Psalm 80, verse 17.